Yes, I'd like to welcome you to the next eschatological update on the Crosscut Maker podcast. If you've been listening to me at all over the past couple months, you know that pretty much all I'm doing now is on a podcast, is eschatological updates. I'm on my website, crosscutcommentaries.simpleside.com, and on social media I do all kinds of other topics as well, but for whatever reason with the podcast I've just limited it to the eschatological updates, kind of where I'm focusing just kind of the ongoing analysis of current events as it applies to the end times. And I honestly wasn't going to do an update this week because I didn't really feel like there was any significant reason to do it this week until I just about a half hour ago I had heard a piece of information that was, I find, to be incredibly relevant. As you know, that Israel has created the Abraham Accord, and they have made normalization agreements, peace agreements with the United Arab Emirates and with Bahrain, and there's other countries, supposedly, I've heard anywhere between 5 and 10 that could be also joining that Abraham Accord. And I have become convinced, if you've listened over the past couple weeks since that's been signed, is that that is a significant step in the in the process of the peace deal that will trigger the tribulation period. Again, the Abraham Accord is not the tribulation triggering peace agreement because it's not for 7 years, and I think it will be more broad than what it is now. But the fact that there is more potential to add on and add on and add on more nations here, I do think this process will go forward and there will be more nations added. But I still don't think, even as those are added, the Abraham Accord itself will ultimately end up being Daniel 9:27 covenant the Antichrist makes with Israel. I believe that'll be the one, it'll be adjusted and confirmed to 7 years by the Antichrist. And so I do believe it's significant that this process is going forward, and I don't think it's turning around this peace process, the Middle East peace process over there, because typically the Palestinians have been able to thwart it pretty much unilaterally at will. And the times have changed now. The threat of Iran, a couple other factors, has created the atmosphere now that the Arab nations are not, they're going to go forward with or without the Palestinian issue being dealt with. I think they all want the Palestinian issue to be dealt with. But I think now Palestine, the Arab League, refused to condemn the Abraham Accord last week or the week before. That was a humongous statement in the fact that Palestinians and their president, Mahmoud Abbas, no longer has the authority to just stop any peace process going on in the Middle East on their own. And so I think they recognize this. And so the reason I was doing the update today is I had been listening. I knew that the United Nations was holding its general conference over the past week, and I've listened in and out to different speakers. And there's a whole lot of broad theme of peace, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Middle East and the process there, and just kind of the idea towards global governance has been a pretty common theme there. But I just had dealt with that on other podcasts, and it's in my by the way, I have a written website that has all the end time, I call it EOA. It's EOA-indicators.simpleside.com. End of age indicators is what that means. And there's all the kind of the broad things that I'm seeing that really are legitimately biblical indicators that we are approaching the end of the age, in my opinion. So I listened to some of the United Nations things and I thought, yeah, just kind of what I've addressed in previous things. But what was new, what made me do this podcast is, hang on just 1 second, is that I did not hear the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas speak, and I just came across some information that he had. I'm going to pull the article up. I'll just read this. This is from TRT World. It was reported elsewhere. It says Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has appealed to the United Nations for an international conference on the Middle East in 2021, hoping for a new start after the U.S. elections and the Gulf Arabs' recognition of Israel. And in an address to the General Assembly, this is what I did not see, Abbas asked Secretary General Antonio Guterres to convene the meeting on the Palestinian issue early next year and bring in all relevant parties. And so so now they realize that they're going to be left behind here in this peace process if they don't get involved. But they don't, they never have wanted the United States to be in charge of the peace process. And that's kind of who's running these Abraham Accords. And they've always appealed to the United Nations. And so that's what they're doing now. But I think they realize now that this, they have to get involved in the peace process now, or otherwise they're just going to be left out of it. And they're going to get nothing. And the thing about Palestinian and that whole issue is just, I think it's been shown that they truly don't want peace with Israel. They want the extinction of Israel. And so it doesn't matter. That's why the process is just kind of dead-ended every time, is because no matter what Israel offers, it's not enough, because unless Israel offers their own self-extinction, it's not going to make the Palestinians happy. And so there's a theological ideology there that they hold to. I think most people could see that now. That's why I think this process is going forward without them, because people realize that they are impossible to please outside of the elimination of Israel. And so they recognize this, and so this, and if you've also listened to a lot of what I believe, I'm very firm that I believe that the one world government that the Antichrist runs ultimately will begin in the United Nations. I don't think there's any way around that, especially if it's anywhere in the near future. That what you'll have is there will be an initial coalition of 10 world leaders that are going to rule from the United Nations. And I don't believe the Antichrist is one of them. I believe he's an 11th that comes along. And then three of them are eliminated, and then he ultimately ends up taking all power. But my point here is I believe that is absolutely sourced and originated in the United Nations. I believe that's where the peace deal is going to come from, and everything's going to come from there, including it'll be the seat of the Antichrist power. Now, as it goes forward into the tribulation period, you know, if they become a non-issue, if he just coalesces the militaries of whatever he needs, and he kind of leaves that. But I don't think they will. Now I think about it, I do believe that the United Nations will be just the seat of power for the global governance that the Antichrist ends up taking over. And so just seeing that the United Nations is being asked to broaden this peace process now is to me very significant. Now again, I didn't see a date set on it. I don't think the United Nations has agreed to do this, but I'm sure they probably will, and the process likely will happen in early 2021. Again, no date setting, only the Lord knows the time of His return. And so, but it's just, to me, it's a significant advancement in this peace process deal, where I do believe ultimately the tribulation triggering covenant will not be led by the United Nations alone. The United States alone, but by the United Nations. So right now, it's all United States leading this peace process. Donald Trump and his team leading the peace process. And I do believe that's going to advance. And now again, what happens with the election will determine on if it goes forward past November. So if he loses, even though he won't leave office until late January, obviously the countries seeking to make peace likely wouldn't do it, because they realize he's not going to be around after a couple of months. And so, but if he wins, that process would likely go very aggressively forward at the end of this year. And but ultimately, I don't believe that the United States is going to be the one solely responsible. I believe they'll be part of that coalition in the United Nations, but they won't. It won't be we won't be in complete charge of the peace process. It'll be more of the United Nations. And so I do believe that was a significant advancement in the end of age indicators that I'm looking at, and on top of all the other things going on right now. But one thing I would like to address is, you know, I mentioned this a little bit in my last eschatological update, dealing with how we are to react to noticing the end. That it's very possible, if not likely, that we are approaching the return of Jesus Christ in the tribulation period. And because I do believe there's a scriptural commands, that, or scriptural indicators that we are, that it's okay to notice the season. Because the one I always start with is Hebrews 11:25, talking about not forsaking the gathering together, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so there is a clear indication that you can see the day of Christ approaching. Yet we don't know the day. Nobody ever calls a date, or even a month, or a week, or any associated with any holiday. You know, a lot of people were doing the Feast of Trumpets thing they do every year, thinking, all right, is this year going to be the year that the Jewish holiday, it was on September 18th, and of course, it even got my heart thinking a little bit about it because of how many things are going on in the world, and it's just not healthy. As the day passes, and there's always that kind of letdown thing. But and I didn't, even the morning of, I told the Lord, I don't believe that today is any more likely to be the rapture of the church than tomorrow or the next day. Every year people have this idea, because the Feast of Trumpets, obviously the trumpet blast is what happens on the rapture, and so they associate it, and especially this year, seeing all the indicators going on. But I just think it's very unhealthy to, very sinful and unhealthy to even subliminally or suggest that it would be more likely on a certain day than another day, because again, I think it's an imminent unknown day. So it could be today, or it could be next week, or it could be next month, or it could be next year, it could be next decade. We don't know, but I do think we see what's going on here. But I speak from my own personal heart here, is that it's really easy to get too caught up in watching the current events of the world and trying to tie them into eschatology. I do it because I feel like it's the Lord's will for me to do this now. It's one of my ministries now, but I can make it all my ministry now. And then I always end up getting convicted by putting too much, especially when, typically up until the last 6 or 7 months, I really purposely avoided politics, the news, the current news, because it's just the worldly battle happens there. Now, I'm sure are true born-again Christian men and women who are called to that ministry to be involved more politically and everything. So I'm not condemning that from a Christian perspective, but just me personally, just didn't feel like it was my, and every time I get sucked into it, I end up putting more hope in the Republican Party or in Donald Trump or in whatever else instead of the Lord. It just seemed bad for my heart. But now that I do believe it is part of a God-willed part of my ministry, I still have to guard too much, going too much into it. And so I made it a purposeful adjustment to what I call stick my toe in the waters of this ministry instead of swimming in it, because it's real easy. So I think we as Christians are to, although we can see the season and we can see, I think, again, like, the scripture I just read and others, that you to lift their head up when you see these things occurring. There's an idea that you can see the day approaching. But it shouldn't radically change our behavior. We should be serving the Lord in His imminency anyway. And so now it might add just a little more. It should add a little more intensity for evangelism and maybe some other things. And it might tweak our ministries a little bit. But it shouldn't overhaul them. The doctrine of the imminency of the rapture is intended, I believe, to make you to be ready, regardless. And so it's never, this idea of cramming, like, oh, well, here, it appears the Lord is getting close. Now I'm going to get my life right. That's not how it works. You don't control that anyway. If you let yourself willfully get backslidden, you're not exactly in charge of coming out of that backslide. You need God's grace to do that. So that's an impossibility. But also, we are just to be willfully, obediently, joyfully serving the Lord, regardless of whether we're close or not. So every time, when I first started doing the ministry of the end times indications, I always intentionally put, okay, this is what I'm seeing here. Okay, but I don't know, because I'm not certain. And so I'd always put, regardless, today, because regardless, the truth is, today could be your last day. And so the end times, you might not make it to the end times. And so the idea is the gospel and the ministry of the word, that's the primary a focus of our lives. And the end times should only intensify that obedience to that. We shouldn't throw everything else out and just do it, watch the current events and see, you know, how that attaches to the eschatology. Because that's, again, I think, and it's easy to do that. Speak from experience now. So I'm trying to guard my heart a little more on that, and that's one reason why I cut back a lot on the podcast and whatnot. But I just do the updates now periodically. But my point here is we should guard our hearts, serve the Lord, notice these things, but not be overwhelmed by these things. And it shouldn't change our lives all that much. But if it is a motivation to be, if you do recognize yourself as backslidden or willfully out of the will of God, and this would be some kind, I have heard many people say, all right, I see what's going on here. I'm going to get right with the Lord. And that's okay if the Lord uses that. That's a good thing. But we should be, regardless of whether we are rapidly approaching the time of the end, and I believe with all my heart we are, it shouldn't change our daily service to Him, where our affections are. We should be setting our hearts and minds on Scripture, on prayer, on, you know, Christian fellowship, on evangelism, on living, doing our jobs for the glory of God, living our, in our families for the glory of God. I mean, just the things that we would be doing if it was a century ago and we couldn't see any of these things happening. So it's just, I just wanted to make that note because I did feel like, first off, I myself personally let myself get a little bit over-focused on it. Yet I do, like I said, I'm not going to apologize because I do, I mean, apologize for the, for addressing today and going forward, whatever else I would see, because I do, I began to firmly believe this about a year ago. And if anything, I'm just watching the pieces fall into place to the point where it is often, and this is where I got to struggle with my own heart, is this 50% joyful. Because, I mean, good grief, can you imagine being the generation that sees the Lord return? I mean, it's incredible, and be part of the event, the rapture. You know, just, I mean, we are seeing, if in fact this is, it's just mind-boggling to even comprehend the privilege of that. I mean, we just can't even imagine that. But that's 50% terrifying, too, because, you know, the world, it's also, we understand, if you understand eschatology, how the world goes towards the end. And it's kind of a scary thing. So, and everybody, even though we're called not to be, or to be in the world but not of the world, and not to be polluted by the world, we are, it's impossible not to have some attachment to the normal process of life. Of, you know, seeing your kids grow up, expecting grandkids, you know, retiring, or whatever else it is that you have in your, you know, there's nothing simple about planning and expecting in a godly way to live your life in pretty much a normal process. Yet we're never to hold on to it to the point where we'd rather be there than with the Lord. And so that's kind of the whole battle of the heart. And so noticing these things coming and recognizing that the normal process of the world is going to, you know, if this is indeed the end of the age, will be, it has already changed significantly, and it's not coming back. And so there, that's a battle of the heart. It's hard, I reckon, especially if somebody has a 14-year-old daughter and has, you know, just other people I know who are, you just still have young kids, and you think, all right, timeline-wise, you know, it's tough to process that in your mind. So, but again, it's, you know, the priority for the Christian is to be expecting and eagerly anticipating, hastening the day of the Lord, because we recognize that, you know, being with Christ is the ultimate goal for the Christian. So I wanted to address that along with a little mini update that I had there. And like I said, I don't know if I'll do an update next week. It kind of depends on if there's something significant, or if not, then I'll just do like I planned on doing this week and just not. So I always say this might be the last one, but it might not be the last one. But I continue to just kind of try to hear enough to know something significant happens. But I always like to close, if for whatever reason you're listening and you are not a Christian, to close with a gospel presentation. And it's, one day we will all face the one true and living holy God, and you need to have your sins forgiven and be reconciled to Him before that occurs. In God's great love, He has mercifully made a way. That only happens biblically by repentance, confessing your sinfulness and hopelessness from your heart to God, and faith, believing the gospel, who Jesus Christ is. He's truly man and the one true God, and trusting only in his redemptive work. His redemptive work is he lived without sin, he died on a cross for the sins of sinners, and he was raised from the dead for your salvation. If you genuinely do this, you will be instantly and permanently covered by the righteousness of Christ, and he will have been treated as if he committed all of your past, present, and future sins. If you refuse the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be judged according to your works. And unless you have lived without even one sin like Christ, you will end in eternal conscious condemnation. So the gospel is you receive the forgiveness and reconciliation that you need to God by humbling yourself, knowing you need it, and trusting in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done on the behalf of sinners. So I hope this has been helpful, and I pray that if you have been edified by this or informed by this, pass it along to somebody else, especially pass it along to somebody else who needs to hear the gospel, because the gospel a lot of times in a lot of churches is not preached. It's more of a moralistic idea to be a Christian, or you know, you need to do this ceremonial ritual, you need to get baptized, or you need to do this, and you need to hold on by obedience, all these other things. So none of that is biblical. Biblical salvation is complete hope in who Christ is and what he's done. That's it. That's what salvation is. It's receiving and resting in his work. So if you know somebody who needs to hear the gospel, that would be good. And also, the reason I'm doing this, a big portion of why I have done this eschatology, this current events eschatology things, is if I am correct, and we do kind of go into this process, I'll plant seeds that people would recognize. And here's the seed I plant when it comes to, and this is not the gospel, but I'm hoping God would use it to help people believe that the Bible is true, and then go to the gospel, is that the tribulation period begins with a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel. 7 years. Not one day later, not one day longer, not one day shorter. And so I plant that seed out there for people. If you see a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel, you have entered into the tribulation period. That's just the biblical testimony. So you can see all the signs in the world, and that's what I'm doing here, is seeing the stage set for the things that happen in the tribulation period. But until that agreement is confirmed by a man with Israel, we are not. And I heard engaged with somebody this week on social media, thinking that they'd heard that we're waiting for the sixth trumpet now. I'm going, well, no, we haven't had any of the seals broken of Revelation, nor have we had any of the trumpets blown. The first seal of the tribulation period that begins it is the peace agreement. It's the white horse coming without, he's got a bow and he's got no arrows. So it's a peace agreement with Israel is what triggers the tribulation period. We have not entered into one of the seals. The seals has not been broken yet. Not one, not the first one. The white horse has not ridden yet. That begins with the 7-year peace agreement involving Israel. And then the seals are opened. That is the first seal opening. And then the next seals will be opened. The next trumpets will be blown. Then the bowls. And so nothing of the tribulation period has begun yet. What I'm recognizing and seeing is the stage being set for events that will take place in the tribulation period, but we're not in there. And so I always plant the seed of physical observance, is that what begins the tribulation period is 7-year peace agreement involving Israel. But that's not the gospel. I just presented the gospel. But I use that to plant seeds that hopefully somebody will say, hey, you know what, I heard somebody say a 7-year peace agreement involving Israel begins the tribulation period. Maybe I'll look into Scripture, and then God will use that to convert some people. That's my hope. All right, well, God bless you, and I thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time, Lord willing.